Welcome to another episode of Search News You Can Use with me, Dr. Marie Haynes. Well, it's been a minute since I said that, and I want to thank you for your patience as I have been trying to figure out what's happening with my life, with my business. I think I'm not alone in that. I think a lot of you who are listening to this podcast right now are going through change. The world is going through change, and it's so hard for me to express how excited and terrified I am at the same time. I had this realization this weekend that really what I need to be doing with my life is podcast. And I want to thank you guys who reached out to me and asked, where is podcast? Where has it been? I'm going to tell the story in this episode. It's going to be quite a different story than you're used to. I'm sitting here with a cup of coffee, no script, just going to talk about what happened over the last year. It's been a year since ChatGPT was announced and came out and changed our lives. I can't believe how much ChatGPT has changed my life. And I see this picture where, not necessarily ChatGPT, but the use of AI, partially in the form of language models and chatbots like ChatGPT, is going to radically change civilization. And I think there's going to be a lot of things that happen that are difficult. We're really good at focusing at the bad things that could happen with AI, the every, you know, AI gone rogue and there's a Terminator and the world's going to, you know, be destroyed and all these people are going to create all these toxic chemicals to destroy the earth. We're good at making those stories up. We're not good at looking at the other possibilities, that disease could be solved, that we could all have joy, that we could all have fulfilling jobs. Sam Altman, I was listening to Sam Altman and Mira Murati talking about a month ago about OpenAI, and Sam Altman said that every 100 to 150 years or so, civilization goes through a change where half of the population loses their profession in some way. And I think we're here. Now, this is not to be a downer. In fact, I'm super excited. But it's hard to express why. So I thought what I would do today is just kind of sit and chat and tell the story of why I didn't do podcast for so long. Before I do that, I'll introduce myself just in case there are some new listeners, because it's been a while. So my name is Marie Haynes, and I was a veterinarian. I really enjoyed my job as a veterinarian. One of our clients was the Prime Minister of Canada when Stephen Harper was Prime Minister, and I used to see his daughter's hamster all the time, which is really unfair because there's not a whole lot you can do when a hamster is sick, but still it's kind of a cool story to tell. And I really, really enjoyed my job. And then I discovered this thing called SEO. And you would think, why would somebody go from this incredible profession where you get to help people and you get to help animals and do surgeries? I loved surgery so much. To making a website rank higher than another website. I think if you're an SEO and you're listening to this, our purpose is way bigger than making one brand rank higher than another brand, making some money off of the internet. It's bigger than that. And I hope that by the end of this episode, you'll see that there's a purpose in our lives. If you've been working as an SEO, you've been working to make the internet the ground bed for AI. Our jobs are so important. We try to figure out what it is that Google rewards. And in doing so, as Google gets better and better at actually returning to searchers the content that's helpful, we end up creating a helpful and reliable web. And that's so, so important because Sundar Pichai, CEO of Google, says that Bard, we'll talk a lot about Bard, is going to evolve search over the next decade. Bard is becoming a part of Google Assistant. It'll be on everyone's iPhone and Android. And Bard will let you have an overlay on your screen that you have an assistant that you can talk to about anything that you see on your phone. I'm fairly certain that when people start using Bard like this, they will also start using Bard to answer questions that previously would have been searched. So I was interested in SEO as a hobby many years ago, and Google came out with these algorithmic filters, is what we used to call them, called Panda and Penguin. And these were changes in Google's algorithm that affected a lot of businesses. Penguin was the one that really, really got me. Penguin was this filter that would figure out if a website had what Google called unnatural links. Links that were made primarily just to boost rankings. And in the early days of Penguin, the sites that were impacted had these really obviously spammy links, links that you wouldn't try to get today from places like High PR5 Directory or, bestlinks.com. There were all thousands and thousands of these places where you could get a link, and these links would actually help boost your ranking. And Penguin introduced a bit of a penalty, a massive penalty for sites that had really overdone it in this way. And then over time, Google got better and better with Penguin so that it became real time and started to run in the real time algorithm. When Penguin first came out, it fascinated me because the SEO communities, I used to chat in the SEO chat forums, we'd be talking about the things that worked. And everybody would say, well, links is SEO. You just need to get links, and that's what propels rankings. Many sites were devastated when the Penguin algorithm first hit. And some of them were spammers. A lot of them were spammers. Let me, who is a spammer? A spammer is somebody who creates content that it's not necessarily illegal, immoral, but they create usually large amounts of content that ranks because of an ability to know how to rank stuff and not necessarily because it's the best content. And there are many different types of spam that we see. A lot of websites that used links as a way to rank and figured out how to manipulate Google search engines did really, really well with low-quality links. And so a lot of these websites were penalized by Penguin, and rightly so. But what I was seeing in the forums were small business owners who had just kind of learned how to do SEO. And they had learned that the thing that works is links. and a lot of these people, and I did it myself. I would go to Ezine Articles was one of the sites that was very commonly known. And I had a little veterinary website. And I would write articles on Ezine Articles that were, answering some veterinary question. And I would link back to my website using anchor text that is something that I would want to rank for. So I would say online veterinary advice and link back to my website. And, you know, that's not necessarily an illegal thing, an immoral thing. It was just something that worked to show Google search engines that you had people talking about you and in what context they were talking about you. Now, doing that a few times, I mean, I wasn't penalized by Penguin, but imagine that if I figured out that, if I write a few articles on these free sites and I create links back to my website, it actually does help improve my rankings. Well, you can imagine that people would take that farther. And there were people who had all sorts of automated processes that would create entire websites. This still exists today, that would create entire websites that were built on this knowledge that if we can just build links to these, and then people found ways to interlink those. And there's a whole system of knowledge that goes around understanding Google's use of PageRank in the form of links. Well, Penguin was the first start of that not working. The start. Now, Penguin started in 2012. That's 11 years ago. And for the last 11 years, Google's been getting better and better and better at understanding which links are worthy of counting, worthy of using as signals in their algorithm. We're going to talk about signals in a minute. I realized I was talking about me, and then I went on to talk about Penguin. Penguin's way more interesting. The short bit about me is I went on to have a career in SEO and travel the world and talk about what I think Google's doing. And I started an agency, which was incredible. We had such a great time. There were 12 of us that all day long, what we would do is just figure out what it is that Google was doing, that Google was rewarding, and then we would advise our clients on how to change that in their websites. And we did really, really well. Well, let me jump back to Penguin here, because I had this realization, all of those last night, which is going to sound super obvious to you, but when I say it, it just blew my mind. So I'm so fascinated with AI today, and AI, the more I realize how much Google's used AI in their algorithms, and we're going to talk in a minute about the DOJ articles, the trial exhibits that came out that show that user engagement is used for everything. It's the algorithm. Everything starts with what users like. Quality raters refine it. And everything is training Google's machine learning systems. So I've known over the years, I've been talking about Google's quality raters guidelines and how this is what Google wants to reward. I've known that this is important, but I didn't really understand why. And I've been so fascinated with AI. Well, you know what I realized last night? Panda, Penguin, they were AI all along. The things that drew me in. So when the Penguin algorithm started to hit sites, it was so fascinating to try and understand what Google was doing. And I read every single word that Google said, knowing that Google can only say, they can't say things that we can easily refute. I know many of you who are listening to this will say, well, you know, Google said this thing once and it didn't come true, or Google said this and it didn't happen. More often than not, though, when Google says something, it's gone through a careful team of PR and they are very careful on what they tell us. But when they tell us something, especially when it's in writing, in their documents, it's very, very important. So here's what I realized last night. Panda was a machine learning system that was trained with the examples of the lowest quality content. And every Panda update we had likely represented new training, retraining of the model. And most likely Google gave the model examples of here's the type of quality that we want to reward, here or website that we want to reward. Here's the type of content that's an example of a low quality content type of content. Those examples train the machine learning systems. So when we saw Panda updates, I really think that was, it's like having a GPT 3.5 to GPT 4. It's a new training, a retraining of the model of what's helpful. And every time they do that, they get just a little bit better. In the year 2000, Larry Page was talking about how there are people at Google who were working on AI, and AI would be the ultimate version of search, where you could ask any question and it would give you the correct answer. It would give you a helpful answer. And he said that there are people at Google who are getting incrementally closer and closer to improving in this area. I think every Panda update we had represented a step closer in using AI to recognize when content is good and helpful. Now that's Panda. What about Penguin? Penguin's AI too. Now that we know how AI is trained, we know how machine learning is trained, how those systems work, when you train these systems, we know that you train it with examples. Here's an example of an unnatural link. Here's an example of a link that would count as a signal that somebody is recommending this person. They wouldn't say it in those words, but that's what they're basically saying. Here's a link that would be a good signal. Here's a link that somebody just made for SEO purposes. Now, in order to train machine learning, you need a lot of examples. For Panda, that's fine because you've got a lot of users. Google can see when people click on certain results, when they hover on certain elements, when they submit forms. They can see signs of, they call it in the DOJ documents, IS, information satisfaction. Those are all signals that show that a user's been satisfied. But how do you do that? I mean, so that provides Google with millions. Like every day, there's all these interactions. I don't know whether they look at every single interaction that happens. I think they do, or whether it's just a percentage of searches. But I think it's actually every search that's done, you're sending signals to Google, whether that was a good search or a bad search. And those train the algorithm. So it's not hard to see how Panda could get loads and loads of data. But how would you get loads and loads of link data? Here's the irony. Is irony? I never use the word irony properly. I don't know. Here's something that I find interesting. I probably trained Penguin. And those of you who filed disavows and gave Google spreadsheets, just like I wrote in my book years ago, I wrote a book about how to remove manual actions. And what we would do is go through every single site that was linking to a website, and we'd make a decision as to whether or not that was a link made for SEO purposes, or whether that was a link that actually represented somebody wanting to recommend your content and link to your content. And so we would send spreadsheets to Google with hundreds of thousands, millions of links in them, all labeled as whether they were unnatural. If you used my technique, you labeled them as what type of links they were. We used to have labels of article when you used an in-article placement. Another one was directory. Another one was footer links. Now, years ago, Gary Ish from Google told us, this was in a podcast, I know there's a Search Engine Land article on it, where he said that Google labels all of your links as footer, as whatever. And so now that we know how machine learning works, that makes so much sense. So I provided, and you, those of you who filed disavows, who got rid of manual actions, I always wondered, why did Google put all of this energy into manual actions? Now, it makes perfect sense that we were helping train Penguin. And eventually Penguin got to the point where it could be used, it integrated with the algorithm full time. And I've talked about this a lot, where Dr. Pete from Moz has this heat map. Every time there was an update, we would take notice as a community. And so he made this heat map that showed that up until the end of 2016, there was a fair number of updates. And then from 2016 till present, it's just all red. There's just constant updates all the time. And the time where you can see that it starts to turn red is September of 2016, which is when Penguin 4.0 happened, which is when Google said Penguin was a part of the core algorithm now. So Panda and Penguin were Google slowly implementing machine learning systems into their current system. Now, today, we don't talk about Panda and Penguin. We talk about the core updates. I believe that when we see a core update, again, it's a retraining. I have to go back and reread these DOJ documents. The DOJ documents I'm talking about, I should probably explain that. There's a case the Department of Justice has against Google right now about monopolies. And I'm not up to date with all the details in the case. I'm more interested in what the documents tell us about search. And you can read through all of the trial exhibits There are hundreds of them. I started using ChatGPT to tell me which ones might be interesting. And then I realized, holy cow, I want to read all of these. There's an episode of Marie's Thoughts. That's my paid newsletter, which I'm going to talk about that in a minute too. But there's an episode of Marie's Thoughts that one of the most recent ones where I break it all down for you. But also, I'm not the only one who has noticed this. AJ Kahn has an article where he breaks it down. I saw that Kevin Indig had a tweet where he said that the SEO paradigm has shifted. The way that we do SEO changes when we have this knowledge of what Google does with user data. And it brings up all sorts of discussions that I'm sure the industry is going to start to wake up to and start to have. So now we have this helpful content system. The helpful content system is essentially the core system for quality and Panda and likely Penguin as well, I bet. Who knows? The point is that it's all AI now. The way that Google ranks sites looks nothing like it did years ago. And this is why my business had to change. So back to me. Let's talk about me. I had an agency. Many of you worked with my agency and we did some really fantastic work. And we helped a lot of sites because we understood that if Google writes something in the Quality Raters guidelines, then it means that they're trying to change something in their systems. Now we know that they're giving raters instructions so that when they give those examples of helpful results, they can include, for example, oh, okay, well, the fact that there's real life experience, that's something that contributes to, you know, whether it's a helpful result. So we always paid attention to what Google was doing in the Quality Rater guidelines. And that gave us a bit of an advantage. Actually, gave us a big advantage for a lot of sites. We would do things where we would look at who Google is ranking and who improved in rankings during an update. And then we'd look at how they aligned with what we understood in the Rater guidelines. And for some situations, we'd see that, so this was back 2017 was the first time that I noticed that all of the pages that were being elevated against above one of my clients had articles that were written by medical doctors, and they had author bios that said that the medical doctor wrote it. Now, I don't know if it was the author bio or the fact that it was a doctor themselves. I think it might be the latter, and I think the industry grabbed onto the former. But the fact that we have that we saw that those sites were doing well, it was enough evidence for this client to go out and actually spend a lot of money to hire actual medical doctors with expertise in their area. And they did incredibly well with the next, with a future core update. And we had this type of thing where we could always be a step ahead in understanding what Google was doing. And then bit by bit, we had less success. And it's not because we didn't understand what Google was doing. It was because our advice was not implementable. My business was built on understanding what search engines reward and helping websites conform to that. I think most of you who have businesses in SEO, that's how you exist as well. You understand what it is that Google rewards, and then you work incrementally closer and closer to being that result. Bit by bit, we were finding we were having less success, and we knew why. Because the clients that were coming to us were just not as good as the results that Google was rewarding. And the advice that we were giving would require an entirely new business plan. Oh, hey, you hired content creators, you hired writers from the Philippines, you know, and gave them a list of topics and a content brief and produced content. And for years, because you gave them a brief that was, you understood where the headings should be, you understood what keywords should be used, you understood what Google rewarded, and so you could rank well. Now we're telling you, I mean, yeah, you can still use writers, But the information that's important, the information that Google wants to rank, is actually information that's more helpful to people, not the information that just looks more relevant to search engines. So we would say, well, you know, Google has given us this guidance. Like, let's say you were an affiliate site and you used to make money from reviewing products. We'd say, well, look, Google says do original research. Make some videos. Compare products. Actually buy the products. And so we were giving advice like this to people. But imagine how expensive it is to create that kind of content across thousands of pages that you used to be able to create content at scale, you know, with very minimal effort, with not a whole lot of budget, or maybe with a lot of budget. A lot of people have created a lot of content just for Google. So a lot of things happened in 2022. It came to a point where running a business was no longer enjoyable for me. And I had a lot of stuff going on in my life too. We all went through so many changes with the pandemic, with, you know, we worked in an office before with all of these geeks who were just fascinated about what Google was doing. And there would be an update. The Raider guidelines would update and we'd all be like all excited and divvying them up. Oh my gosh, we're so geeky. And it was so much fun. And then when the pandemic happened and we in Canada, we were forced into lockdown. So we went completely remotely. We didn't even turn on our cameras in Zoom calls. And so here we are with a business that already is struggling because we can't produce actionable advice that, you know, we did produce actionable advice. But the thing that really moves the needle now is to have the most helpful content, is to be the brand that's known as having the most helpful content. It's as simple as that. That's my book, my second book that's coming out. Is I spent all this time creating checklists. You can go through the checklists. They're good to help you understand what needs to improve. But you're improving for search engines. And what Google wants to reward is content that people find helpful and content that people actually do click with, engage with, read, buy your products, all of that. So let me take you to a year ago. I let half of my team go, and the other half of my team, the senior team, came together and formed their own agency. And I'm happy to connect you with them. They do fantastic work. And then it was just me. I thought, I need to refine how I give my advice to businesses because this is not right. I had reached a point where I had spoken at conferences. I have this podcast. I have recognition that, you know, people listen to my advice, where people would pay me lots of money for consulting with me. And yet, every call that I had became a grief counseling session. And it reminded me so much of these calls would remind me of when I was a veterinarian. The part that's the hardest about being a vet is that you are constantly grief counseling. Every day, there's multiple conversations about, you know, whether your pet is dying, whether you should put money into this, whether, you know, all these really hard decisions. And it's so, so difficult on the veterinarian to carry that emotional burden. And I always used to say that when I came into SEO, it was, you know, we didn't have that because, you know, we were always helping businesses thrive and to grow. And in the latter half of 2022, every call that I had with businesses was people saying, look, I'm facing layoffs. You're my last chance. Help us. Help us understand how we can get business from Google again. And I'd point out, look at your content and look at the content that Google's ranking. You're never going to be that brand. No amount of paid links is going to take you there. You could create content that maybe is even more helpful than them, but if people know that they're the place where you go for your topic, it's going to be really, really hard. Now, for those of you who are listening to this going, well, great, now I have no chance because I'm not the biggest brand. The helpful content criteria, the helpful content advice that Google's given really gives me hope. And we've seen some things in SGE and search generative experience where There have been little carousels of content that's helpful. We've seen ads with helpful content in it, and we've seen helpful content appear in the middle of maps listings. Like you looked up restaurants in a certain city, and then there'll be a blog post about the best restaurants in this city that's amidst the maps listings. So, and Google talked all about these hidden gems. This is something that will be another podcast episode, I'm sure. We need to talk about what hidden gems are. I think there's all sorts of opportunities opening up for smaller bloggers and for content creators. But right now, unless you are known for your topics, unless you're consistently producing stuff that makes people go, oh, she wrote something, I need to go read it, then SEO is not going to take you where you need to go. So let's go to the end of 2022 and ChatGPT comes out, and I remember just being amazed. I think I fell in love with ChatGPT at first sight. I got it to write poems about whether cheese was a ranking factor, and Barry Schwartz and John Mueller argued back and forth about cheese being a ranking factor. And I just started experimenting with it to see what I could get it to do. And I saw the whole world talking about the limitations of this tool, the hallucinations, the places where it got it wrong, the places where it couldn't do something that you wanted it to do. And it made me so sad because I could see that there's a lot you can do with this. And some of the podcast episodes that I want to do are going to talk about all the ways that I've been using ChatGPT. I use it in my professional work. I'm going to be releasing some GPTs that people can use to help you like improve your content. And I use them personally. I use them for recipes. I use them for so many things. The way that AI has integrated into my life, I can't imagine not having this help. And I understand the limitations, and I know that the limitations, they're already improving dramatically. And I think the rest of society is probably going to see what I see and use a lot more AI. So at the end of 2022, I'm trying to figure out, what do I do with my business? The obvious thing is to just consult. And that's what I did. And just consulted. Did lots of phone calls with people. One case after the other was grief counseling. And by this time, my own health was struggling. There's only so much stress that a person can take. And then how much of this story to tell? There's a whole movie in what happened in my life the last few years. When my business suffered and my health suffered in just vague ways, just not having a lot of energy to do things and always constantly pushing and trying to improve and to get to that place where I really wanted to be. I had a bunch of health things happen, ended up learning a lot about health. Everything bad that happens to us is for a reason. And I learned so much in that time. And I thought, you know what, before I get back into the swing of working, because I had taken some time off, I'm gonna go to a cabin in remote Airbnb in the remote northern Quebec and just write down everything and just be alone with my thoughts. How amazing does that sound, right? Google Maps took me there. Powered by this great new feature by a part of Google that you would recognize today, but maybe not back then, DeepMind. DeepMind is Google's AI. They've recently merged with Google Brain. So now DeepMind is essentially the part of Google that figures out how to use machine learning, figures out how to use AI. And one of the things that DeepMind had learned was how to predict where roads were when perhaps they weren't even written on the map. A hallucination of DeepMind sent me down an ATV trail with my BMW convertible. It's a very long story. I ended up having to spend the night in the woods by myself because the tow truck couldn't get as far as I got down the ATV trail. The cops had to rescue me the next day, but my Pixel phone battery ran out just as I was calling 911. Oh, it's such a bizarre story what happened. That didn't do a lot to help with my stress levels. And I found myself in a a really, really difficult place. Now, one day I'm going to tell you the story of the good that came out of that, because I learned again so much about health, about anxiety, about guilt. You don't feel guilt until you've destroyed your car down an ATV trail. What kind of an idiot drives, you know, that this is what the thoughts that were going through my head. And this is what we do to ourselves all the time. We think what horrible people we are. If you haven't seen the Netflix series, the Black Mirror, the episode Joan is Awful, our brains do this to us all the time, that we tell ourselves that we're the worst people in the world. And so I got myself to a pretty awful place. And there was one thing that helped me. When I was in the worst possible place was podcast. There were times where I could barely walk. And David would help me get to my computer. And I'd plug everything in, take a deep breath, and then it was all there. Welcome to another episode of Search News You Can Use. And for some reason, I've got multiple thoughts on why it helped me. I mean, it helps me to help people. Also, when you do a podcast, you do a lot of breathing. So podcast was healing for me. And I did it for many months. All those things talking about understanding what semantic search is, that was all when I was in a really, really, really bad place. And gosh, how important was that time? I learned so much doing that. So podcast became my thing. And then I started to try to like optimize podcast and pre-write my scripts and get everything in there that I could to make it as good as possible. I started to kind of burn out because I no longer had a team, and I was writing newsletter, writing paid newsletter, writing and producing a podcast, and doing client work at the same time. So I was doing the work of 12 people while trying to recover from serious burnout. And I had to let something go. And as much as podcast helped me, it wasn't making me money because I didn't need leads anymore. So I started to set up a referral program, and that will come. You can go to mariehaines.com/recommended, and you will see some of the great folks that I've worked with that I do recommend if you're looking to hire somebody to help walk you through this transition of what's happening as AI changes search. So then I did a lot of thinking. I did a lot of brainstorming with ChatGPT, a little bit with Bard. Bard wasn't so great. Bard's getting better. If you're not using Bard, you're doing yourself a disservice, because Bard is going to be the future of how people connect with the internet. I'm sure of it. So my thought was, why don't I make a product? And then when I do podcast, I have something to sell. The more I talk, the more I learn. I don't have to be doing consulting, I can just sell my product. And that's why I wrote my helpful content workbook. But then podcast never came back because I never got caught up. I was always doing client work and whatnot. This weekend, I had this realization that all I want to do is talk. And I spend half my week writing a free newsletter. Why don't I just talk instead about the news? Use AI to summarize it for the free newsletter. And then I've saved myself a couple of days. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to talk about what's happening in search and in AI. And as I learn stuff, you're not going to get all of it unless you want to listen to all the podcasts, which some of you will. But you'll get the most important things that I'll summarize by AI. The other thing that I'm going to do is give people access to some GPTs that I've created. There'll be more on that later, though. I still got to develop that. Now, some of you are waiting for me to analyze the September helpful content update, the October and November core updates, and I've promised you my review of that. And so here's what's going to happen. You will have something this week. I'm going to send out basically what I've summarized. I think I'll send out the episode of Marie's Thoughts that talks about how our thinking needs to change because of the DOJ documents, and talks about in general what I recommend for recovery. But here's why I realized that I needed to spend more time writing my book, my second book. And it's because I have the same problem that I had when I was consulting. I need to refine my message and to get better at explaining what businesses need to do in order to rank. It is really about helpful content. It is really about building a brand, about building recognition. Yes, there are things you can do. You can add schema. There are many things that you can do to improve your search presence. But if you want to outrank your competitors, you need to be more helpful to them than them. And that's really all there is to it. And so I'm writing this book and I realized that I've been rushing the book because I promised it to the folks who submitted their sites. So I'm going to get something out to you this week and I'm going to create a link most likely for pre-sales of the book. Maybe pay attention to the description. And by the time I've got that, I'll have a link there for you. Here's what I'm thinking I'm going to do for podcast, because now I'm going to go into a podcasting season. So if you like podcast, you got podcast from me. I'm going to do some of these where I'm just chatting. I'm just talking. I want to talk a lot about what I see coming up in the future and what I want to talk about AGI. I've been learning a lot about what the leading AI leaders are even divided amongst whether AGI is even something we should be remotely thinking of. Some people think that AGI is just a marketing term. I'm talking about artificial general intelligence, where machines are smarter than people, and people have a lot of concerns over this. And I think some of them might be overblown, and I want to spend time doing a podcast episode on that. I want to get guests on as well to talk about all sorts of things. I want to find out what you guys are interested in and what you find interesting. And the next type of podcast I'm going to do is a news recap. But what I'm going to do is just talk about what happened this week. And I'm going to experiment with using AI to summarize that so that nobody has time to read thousands and thousands of words every week, especially those of you who do SEO as your business. So I'm going to get you some more interesting and concise summaries. And then the third type of podcast that I want to do that I'm really excited about is research. And so when I'm learning about a topic like AGI, or even just how to use chat better for something, or new research that comes out about how retrieval augmented generation happens and how SGE is ranking results. Those are all things I'd like to do in a learning podcast. And I think what we'll do is just kind of rotate through all of those and see what happens. So I've got a bunch more that I really want to say. I think I'm going to end with this. I always want to stay on the positive, because I talked about how Sam Altman said that jobs were disappearing. That's his biggest concern as OpenAI moves closer and closer to what they believe they're building in terms of AGI, is that he said that people will be able to adapt if job loss happens over a couple of generations. Then that's, society can adapt to that. But jobs will change in ways that we can't really even comprehend. And it's going to happen very, very quickly. So those of you who are listening to this, who are in a place where you are thinking, what am I going to do? You can see the writings on the wall that your current job is going to be less and less necessary, and you really just don't want to get out there and do anything new. It's not like you're going to go to school to be an AI scientist or anything. I don't know what the answer is, but here's what I would recommend. First of all, I would recommend that you play with GPTs. GPTs, if you're not sure what I'm talking about, are like little apps that you can create within ChatGPT. If you have a ChatGPT Plus plan, which is the $20 a month thing, anybody can create one. And they're so much fun to create. I've written all sorts of stuff. I'm not going to talk in podcast on how to do it. If you go to the search bar and you just search for GPT, you'll see there's actually a community in there that you can join where we talk about what we're doing with GPTs. And I share some information about mine that I'm building. Why do I think you should build GPTs? And you're probably thinking, oh, I'm not a developer. I'm not really, I can't do that. I don't know AI. Because they're the start of talking to machines with natural language. You basically say to it, I want to create an app that helps me figure out which fantasy football player I should start this week. How do we do that? And you can converse back and forth. I've got an app that browses with Bing the recent news on whatever player I want. I'm like, should I start this guy or this guy? And it'll find the recent news, tell me the matchups with what cornerback they're against and all sorts of things. So GPTs are super, super useful. Now, there are some risks, and what you put into a GPT can be found by anybody who uses it. So you wouldn't want to be putting your company's private data in it. And so it's not just a toy, though. Here's why I'm telling you to build stuff with GPTs. Because Microsoft, right now it's complicated. It won't be complicated soon. Microsoft already has a service where you can use their private servers with their own private AI, which is GPT-4, on your own private server with your own private data, which means that all of the issues with keeping stuff hidden is probably going to go away. And businesses then, you're just limited by your imagination. And that means that your development is not limited by how many programmers you have on your team. It's limited by how many smart minds you have that can create things, or by your own smart mind. Many of the things that I'm doing now, ChatGPT helps me. Bard helps me. If you're trying to figure out how to use GA4, for example, Bard is an excellent assistant. It's incredible. It gets better and better. I want to do a lot of learning on reinforcement learning with human feedback and even without human feedback, because I realize now that AI, that's how AI gets better and better and better and continues to improve. And so if you have tried ChatGPT and Bard before and found them not that useful, I'd really encourage you to give it a go. I think I'm going to end here. It's been so good to do podcast again. And my apologies for those of you who are confused about what's happening with my newsletter and all that stuff. Don't worry, it'll get all sorted out. I'm going through a bit of turbulence, but I'm so excited about the future. I see so many really exciting things. And those who understand what AI does, how AI works, how we can benefit, how we can use AI for good, are going to be the people who lead society, who are going to be the people who are successful in society. And so I feel really privileged that my life, you know, I realized that when I realized that Panda and Penguin were just AI, and AI has been just dragging me in, you know, I got into search full time right at the same time that the knowledge graph was placed, which is, you know, super important to AI for Google. I don't know what the purpose of my life is, but I know that it's to help a lot of people through whatever the transition is that the world is going to be through. So I wish you all the best of luck. And I'm not going to say with your rankings. Man, I said I'd do this after reading that horrible Verge article. I'm going to try this out, see if it works. I'm going to say, see you later, alligator.